The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I want to, this morning, make a case for healing. Henry and Leslie did a great job, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff coming against many of us in the body. Many of us have been struggling with some physical things. Of course, Bob and Marcy with what they're going through. And the tendency is to question God. The tendency is to say, well, is this really real? Does it really work? Does it, you know, like a genie in a bottle? Is it, you know, do we stroke it the right way and all of a sudden you get results? And it's none of that. But nevertheless, the kingdom has healing as part of the provision. I believe that when we can receive healing the same way we receive salvation, when we can, with the same faith, the same simplicity of faith, receive healing the way that, for me, I didn't go through all sorts of mental gymnastics when I was encountered with the Lord in my salvation. It was like something went off inside that said, this is what you've been looking for. So I say, yeah, you know. And I believe that there is a same grace that we are pressing for, that we are working through in healing. I want to read, I think I alluded to this about a month or so ago, but I want to read it again. One of the core scriptures to our vision at Living Waters Church is Isaiah chapter 61. For those of you that don't know, we had a vision early on that Living Waters was a hospital at the inception of Living Waters. And we have seen that to be true, that we have seen one of the strengths that we carry is people that have been beat up by the world, beat up by the church, beat up by physical things, have come here and just through time have received healing. And they've been strengthened and encouraged in their inner man so that they can keep on running the race. Early on, Luke Anderson saw a vision, and it was a MASH unit. It was pretty bloody and pretty basic. It was just to stop the bleeding and get them someplace that they could receive help. A year or two later, he then saw another vision, and the hospital was more sophisticated, cleaner. It was a bona fide hospital. And that really has marked many times who we are. Why we got excited about Ambassadors for Him was because all of a sudden we got the revelation, wow, a hospital and doctors that make house calls. You know, we go out to the houses. And it just seems to be what the Lord is doing in this age. I believe there is a greater emphasis in this move of God for the church to get outside of the walls. I am loving house churches. There's a movement of house churches. I like to call them neighborhood churches. I believe that we're going to be instrumental in establishing some neighborhood churches. I love seeing, for instance, para ministries that, you know, are out, people who have just gotten a burden from the Lord and are running in obedience, and they're doing something that isn't necessarily connected to the church, and they're serving people with the gospel of the kingdom. And that to me is really exciting. I know that that is the what the church of the future is transitioning into. Not exclusively. There will always be a place for the organized church, for the Big C church, whatever you want to call us. I haven't figured it out yet. But there will always be a place. But there's this running back and forth with the strengths of each one running together so that we're not threatened by people that look a little bit different than us. We as a church, we're not threatened by different churches in this city that sometimes our people have left here and gone there, and sometimes they've left there and come here, and it really doesn't matter because it's the church, the Big C church, and Jesus is Lord of that. Amen. So we with that in mind, I want to talk a little bit about this thing of healing, Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus read in Luke chapter 4. He stopped there. But Isaiah goes on, and the day of the vengeance of God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then those which have been healed, they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I really love that scripture, because it's Jesus who is saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And Jesus was the initiator of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon somebody who was in right standing with the Father, somebody who was in right standing with the kingdom of God, with the kingdom of righteousness, who had no sin. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him with a message, and he was sent to go and to bring healing to the nations. And what's really cool about that is, you know, when Jesus ascended, he said, you know, it's not me anymore, it's you guys. You got the ball. Here it is. Carry it. So we have 150 people here that can now make a declaration, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let's do that together, because it's not Pastor Dave, or it's not Leslie and Henry. It's not ambassadors for him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Come on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. The Spirit, the very Spirit that is from God, that is God, that breathes and sleeps and talks and manifests God in our presence, that Spirit is upon me. It is mine. And it is landed upon me so that I can bring healing to the nations. This thing of a, you know, where we have to go to certain revival meetings, or, and they're good, but where we have to go to a healing conference, or we have to go here or there, you know, and that's all okay. But sometimes we want to go see the GMOD, you know, the great man of God, the guy that has it all, and we want to, if he doesn't have it, then oh, woe is me, what am I going to do? I believe we are coming into a place where the whosoever's are doing the whatsoever, wheresoever. Amen. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord, God, is landing upon the whosoever's in the kingdom of God. Amen. And I believe that as you go in that anointing, and I tell you, get it outside the walls. Bring it to Walmart. Bring it to your workplace. Bring it to your family. Bring it wherever you go. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, nothing is impossible for you. And there are people that are hurting. Did you see what was upon Jesus? He was to preach good tidings to the poor. Who are the poor? You ever ask yourself that question? We think, you know, we think of people living in slums and cardboard boxes, and I'll tell you, there's poor people living in mansions. Yes. David over and over said, oh God, I am poor and I am needy. It's not a matter of the financial status. It's a posture of the heart when you come to an understanding that everything that you once had confidence in, you're bankrupt with. Until the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. Until the Spirit of the Lord ministers in you and through you. Until you're filled with that which is from heaven. So we preach this gospel of this kingdom to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many brokenhearted do you know? Divorce rates at where they're at. Do you know how much heartbreak is in divorce? I'm not talking just the mom and the dad. I'm talking the children. I'm talking about the parents of the people getting divorced. It affects so many people. If you're divorced here, please, please. This is not any kind of condemnation. It's not. I'm just saying there are brokenhearted people everywhere. There are brokenhearted people whose hearts have been shattered by the abuses of life. In fact, I believe many of the people that are acting out and the people that are socially unacceptable among us, they're acting out of something that was shattered in their hearts. Yeah. Yes. But there is anointing upon you. Yes. You know, we try to counsel people out of this stuff, and I do counseling, and I'm good with counseling. I really am. But I'm also woefully aware that at the end of my counseling, there has got to be the power of the Lord that shows up. I am woefully aware. I mean, actually, I'm gladly aware, because it takes pressure off of me and my wisdom and my the way I do things, my methods. It takes all that, throws it in the garbage can it belongs in, and just says, oh, Jesus, if you don't show up, man, we're toast here. But that's the Spirit. That's the anointing that is upon you, every one of you, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of prison to those that are bound. I love what Chris Vallotton says about that, that those that are captives, a captive is somebody who is taken in war through no fault of their own. Airplane crashes, they land in the ocean, the bad guys come pick them up and take them captive. They're captives. How many people do you know are captive not because of something they've done, because of stuff that's been inflicted upon them? The father that molested the child. The woman that has been raped. The child that was beaten mercilessly by a father. That's captives. Those are captives. That's no fault of the person. But nevertheless, they're captives. And there is an anointing to open the prison doors to the captives. I love the next part is, and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Somebody who's bound is somebody who, through their silliness, through their sin, they've entered into a place of bondage. The greatest example of this is when there's unforgiveness in your heart. According to Matthew chapter 18, the Father, the Lord, God, the Creator, because we wouldn't forgive others with the same forgiveness that we've received from the Father, because we hold grudges against people, it says that He will turn them over to the jailer, and the jailer will turn them over to the torturer until the whole debt is paid. And the only way the debt can be paid is through the blood of Jesus. There is no works we can do to pay this debt. So until we come to the revelation and release forgiveness, we're bound. We're prisoners, and we're bound. But the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you to bring truth and to bring liberty to people that are captives, people that are bound. There's an acceptable year of the Lord, and there's the day of vengeance. You know, part of the good news is what we've been delivered from. That He is a righteous judge. The day that we turn God from being a righteous and a holy judge into some kind of a sugar daddy who just winks every time somebody, you know, well, evil isn't that bad. I mean, sin's not really sin. You got to consider where people are coming from. And see, when we start to vie from the holiness of God, who He really is, His character, His nature, the one who says, I have declared some things that are good and they will bring life to you, and I have declared some things that are evil and they will work death in you. That hasn't changed. Just because culture has changed, when you have a nation who from the highest levels of our government has declared good evil and evil good, how many know that brings confusion? That brings confusion upon a people. And I tell you, the church has been suffering from a confusion because we haven't been clearly understanding that we can have an absolutely righteous, holy, and pure God who is also absolutely loving, accepting, and receiving of the sinner. I don't get how He does it, but I know that the Spirit of the Lord that's upon me enables me to love people in that way. I love what Jesus, and one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the woman that's caught in adultery, and everybody's going to stone him. The religious uppity-ups are going to stone her, and Jesus, with just a word, He dispels all of them. And then He looks at the woman, He says, woman, where's your accusers? He says, I don't have any. They're gone. Well, He says, neither do I accuse you. Now, go and sin no more. How empowering was that word of Jesus? Go and sin no more. You're not trapped in this, the circumstances that you were born in that brought you to this place. I don't condemn you for that, but now go and sin no more. We spend so much time trying to be compassionate. I know we need to be compassionate, but there's a satanic sympathy that wants to allow people and stroke the demons while they're in this place over here. The Spirit of the Lord God that's upon us is going to bring truth and love. Now, we haven't figured out how to do that yet, but I believe this move that is sweeping is going to do that in the Church of Jesus Christ. Are you excited?
Yes.
Amen.
I ain't seeing this yet. I'm prophesying something here because I know this is the heart of the Lord. To comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You know that we are brokers of a great exchange? I mean, come on, we're not buying anything. We can't earn anything. It's already been won in the victory of the cross in this kingdom. And we, as ambassadors of that kingdom, are now brokers of what's in that kingdom. And we freely we've received, freely we broker it and we give. So, have you received oil of joy? Where am I? Three. Okay, so have you been comforted in your mourning? Have you consoled those? Have you received beauty for ashes? You know, in what you made your life, do you still live in the condemnation and the guilt and shame of that? Or have you actually received the beauty of Christ in you, the hope of glory? You know, one of my biggest jobs as a pastor is to convince you and to convince me of this great exchange that has taken place, that you're no longer just some dirty old sinner saved by grace, but you are now a righteous son and daughter of the Most High God. You have received beauty for ashes. The trash of your life, and even some of the trash that we still make of our lives, there's always this offer of beauty for those ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. This morning we sang a song on the joy, but I tell you, there's something in the prayer room ahead of time here that we were just seeing as we were praying and as we were just rejoicing in the joy of the Lord and understanding that this joy is part of the kingdom. This anointing that was upon Jesus was full of joy. It says that he was anointed with joy above all of his brethren. I believe when he hung on the cross, he still, the circumstances didn't move him from his joy, because it was for the joy that was set before him that he suffered the cross and endured the shame. You know, we face life here. We have uncertainties in this life. We have challenges in this life. We have failures that we have to challenge, that we face in this life. But I tell you, this anointing of oil, have you received the great exchange? We receive it by faith, believing that Jesus really did the things that he said he did. Yes. And a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's so much heaviness in our land right now. Deception brings heaviness. Truth brings freedom and light. There's so much heaviness in our, you know, I've been mulling over a scripture really quite a bit lately. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it says that because they did not receive the truth, embrace the truth, love the truth to the end, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, that messes with my theology, because I don't believe God has confusion, and yet he sends strong delusion. I can reconcile my theology with that. Nevertheless, there is a delusion that has come upon our land. I have never seen it in this form. I have never seen the deception as strong as I've seen it. And so we as Christians, we've still been trying to argue with that deception. And we try to bring an intellectual argument to a spiritual issue. And we get our fannies handed to us in a bag every time. You cannot intellectually argue the confusion that is upon our nation. But we have not embraced and loved truth to the end. And this delusion that we should believe a lie is very real in our nation right now. I want to encourage you this week, I had a thought here. As we go to the polls this week, I want to encourage us. We don't go to the polls this week with some kind of a self-righteous vengeance in our hearts, thinking we're going to get our guys in. I believe that we can go to the polls this week with an attitude of mourning for our national sin. Oh, how does that square with joy, Dave? Well, it does. How many know that God is absolutely joy and He is absolutely grieving? In other words, when Scripture says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Right? You're looking at me funny there. And I've experienced it. I've experienced at times where I have had tremendous grief, and yet somewhere deep down inside, the joy is unmistakable. So I want to encourage you, as you go to the polls this morning, this week, that we can weep for the church that has lost its moral bearings, the saltiness. We can weep. We can go with a cry of mercy in our hearts. And we can repent on behalf of our nation for a radical rejection of the truth in Christ Jesus. How many know that if, as we go to the polls with the humility that that stuff carries, that that's really the answer? And so when you go to the polls, can I encourage you that you can make a statement of repentance on behalf of our nation? Yes. I don't care who you vote for. It's the posture of your heart. You can make a statement. Well, my vote's really not going to count. I don't know who to vote for. I'll tell you what, make a statement of repentance on behalf of our nation. I believe in identificational repentance. Samuel did it. Samuel didn't do the sin, but he repented for Israel. He said, it's our sin. We have done this. See, it's not their sin. It's the sin of the church also. So I want to encourage you, go to the polls, and if you don't know who to vote for, make that secondary. I tell you, make the primary thing an appeal for mercy from God. Make your primary thing an appeal for repentance and a turning from our wickedness, from where we have made it more about religion than we have about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I know this is getting pretty heavy, isn't it? I believe we need to move away from judgment to mercy. Mercy is compassion. Have you ever really thought about compassion? Have you ever really thought about what it is when Jesus saw the multitudes coming to him in Matthew 9:36? When Jesus saw the multitudes coming to him, and it says that he was moved with compassion. And if you read that and you look into the original language of that, his bowels were churning inside of him. In other words, the deepest place of who Jesus was churning inside of him. And it was churning with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them wearied and battered. That means harassed and kind of beat up by the wicked one. That's what Jesus saw. You and I, we'd have just seen a crowd of people coming. Oh boy, they got to eat again. They really like my preaching. Here they come. Jesus didn't see that. The compassion that was in Christ saw something different. What if we could see with the eyes of Jesus? What if we can see our nation with the eyes of Jesus? What if we can see our co-worker who's going through hell right now and they take it out on you? They tell you to eat your Bible or something or whatever they might do. What if you could look with eyes of compassion? I want to encourage us as we go to the polls on Tuesday, the posture of our heart, we can come in absolute humility and repentance on behalf of our nation, crying out for mercy, crying out for the compassions of God to be stirred up. For the compassions of God to be stirred up in His people. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. I tell you, I just got to the first scripture. How many scriptures did I have there, Mandy? 9 of them or so? All right. I just need to read. I need to read a couple of them, please. I know I got 2 minutes. I'm sorry.
You got all the time in the world.
Well, for those of you that don't have a roast in the oven, I might. I really try to honor people with Matthew chapter 4. This is about Jesus, just his starting out his ministry. He's just come out of the wilderness. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repentance has become kind of a nasty word for the believers. Oh, we don't want to judge people. We don't want to get people mad at us. I'll tell you, the gospel in and of itself is enough to get people mad at you.
Yeah.
If you're not preaching a gospel that doesn't offend, then you're not preaching the gospel. No, you got to preach it with humility, and you got to preach it with compassion. But the gospel is the gospel. And so, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's move over to verses 23 and 24. This is how Jesus worked it out. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. More and more we're seeing people who are tormented. More and more we're, because of what we have given ourselves to as a nation, because of the access that we have into demonic structures, we are seeing more people tormented. Jesus healed all those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics. He healed them. Great multitudes followed him, and from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the River Jordan. Matthew chapter 10. The sending out of the 12. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. This is a word that is being spoken to you, Living Waters Church. This is the word that is spoken, being spoken to us as believers. He has given you authority to cast out all sorts of demons and to heal all kinds of diseases. Why would he give something to the 12 that he is not giving to us? Were they superior to us? Did the game plan change?
No.
I don't believe it did. Verse 7 and 8. As you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what you preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's not out there somewhere on a third rock from the sun. Somewhere. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes. Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is in you.
Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is upon you.
Yeah.
Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm going to finish with the two commissions. I know I'm really, you're getting the idea here. There's actually two commissions. The commission in Matthew is actually an authority commission. The commission in Mark is actually a power commission. I want to read them both. They're both valid. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's something about teaching that when you have teaching with authority. They notice there was an authority on Jesus. They said, he teaches different. We don't get it, but he teaches different. He doesn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites. He teaches with an authority. And they recognize that there is an anointing on you to teach and to equip people in the things of God. Teaching them to observe everything that they have learned. You know, you're to baptize. I'm not supposed to baptize everybody here. You got relationships with people you've led to the Lord. Baptize them.
Amen.
You baptize them. You teach them. You instruct them. You make disciples. Mark chapter 16. And I'm going to finish with this even though I don't want to. Just kidding. Chapter 16, verse 15, and this is the power commission. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That means he'll be damned. There's a negative judgment upon those that do not believe. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Are you a believer here? Okay. Say, this belongs to me. All right, because all these signs will follow me because I believe. In the name of Jesus, I will cast out demons. I will speak with new tongues. I'll take up deadly serpents. They won't hurt me. And then I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. To preach the gospel to the nations. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you. I tell you, the commissions, the call to the nations, the call, and I'm not talking the overseas nations, we are missionaries right here in America.
Amen.
The things that once were accepted as true are now being ridiculed. Don't expect, you know, Jesus, he sent the 12, he says, you're going out like sheep among wolves. Be wise as a serpent, but be harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent means that your heart is connected to the Father. You see the things the Father is saying, doing, and you hear the things the Father is speaking. And it's from that place that you love people. You know, the old guilt and shame that you got to go out and you got to evangelize. If you're not evangelizing, you're just not fulfilling your call, is it? No, no. It has got to be out of relationship, and it's got to be out of love.
Yes.
It's got to be out of this place of compassion.
Good.
This isn't some kind of a duty that you're trying to get some earn some marks in the kingdom of heaven. You must receive the Spirit and the anointing of the Anointed One. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. We'll have teams up here to pray if you need healing, if you need encouragement. We'll have teams up here. There's coffee out in the lobby. Just love on somebody. I believe that the real ministry starts now. I believe that the body ministers to the body more significantly than what a pastor can minister to the body. So just love on one another. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Please honor the altar area. I believe that there's going to be some exchange happening up here, some lies broken off, some healing, some things that are going to take place. Our teams are trained and really run with the passion of Christ. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this congregation. I bless this body. Father, I thank you for the high and holy privilege of rightly representing the person of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for the anointing that allows us, that enables us, that equips us to rightly represent the heart of the Father. Oh God, I pray that to each one of us, Father, I pray for just a gifting of faith to believe the kind of belief that shifts our mindsets and the kind of belief that shifts our actions. God, that we know that you want to bring healing to the brokenhearted. You want to bring healing to those that are physically bound. You want to do it more than we even do, God. Because you're all about seeing your kingdom being manifest on earth. And Father, I thank you for these brokers of the kingdom, these sons and daughters that have investment in the kingdom, and that your Spirit is upon each one. In Jesus' name, amen.